This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast and our Monday edition with Jay Layman. A little bit more cheery as Illinois picks up a huge win at Penn State. And I can't wait to break this all down with you, Jay. First road victory over a ranked opponent since you were in Illini uniform at number one Ohio State in 2007. And we got to see the nine overtime rule or the new overtime rule.
Right.
Full display. And I totally forgot that it went to two-point conversions after all of that. What a wacky game, but what a pretty dominant performance by Illinois. I want to say this before we get into all the overtimes and all that. This wasn't a fluke. I mean, if Illinois had average quarterback play, Illinois wins by two scores probably. So they dominated the line of scrimmage.
I mean, you look at the total – I mean, most rush yards, I think, ever given up to a running back in Beaver Stadium for Chase Brown, number one. Number two is you look at the total yards. I mean, I think we had 350 some rushing yards, and I know we had a few more passing yards if you want to count those, but they only had 227 total yards. And I just can't say enough about after the Wisconsin game to have a bye week, to have the stuff that went on in, you know, press conferences and everything that was said, you know, which I actually was more of a fan of than not. I know some people took some criticism of it. To have them prepared like that, I think the coaches completely outplayed them. And honestly, they made Penn State look like an FCS team, like a D2 team. I mean, it looked like, as far as their run defense goes, it was men against boys. And those are men over on Penn State's defense. So I know they're banged up a little bit up front, but we're really banged up up front. So you could say that that's a draw. And so I was so impressed. Such a program-building win. I think the whole meta-narrative was like there was just resistance the entire game. Like there's resistance with this program, right? We're like, when are we ever going to be good? And they kept running into resistance, right? It was like, man, the penalties that called back the touchdowns. Man, the overtimes, we can't catch a pass. They couldn't catch a pass. You know, the resistance. And then like we broke through, they broke through in the ninth overtime. So I think that's kind of the big story of it is that they finally broke through everything going on.
Yeah, it was a really weird week, Jay. And I knew what Brett Bielema was talking about. I can understand why some people outside the program took the quote that way, but with more context, like it's just a fact. We've talked about it here about 2019 through 21. The offensive line recruiting wasn't very good. I mean, Barlow and Kreutz are getting in right now, but the previous staff did not recruit offensive linemen well. So that's putting them in a tough place moving forward. But people were saying, oh, this is a way to lose the locker room. That certainly wasn't the case, right? I mean, what did you see from that perspective when there's all that noise outside the program
right,
for this team to come out and play the way it did?
Well, I mean, it can go a thousand different ways. And Brett Bielema said that when stuff's down and after a Wisconsin game like that, and do you trust the system? Do you trust your coaches? And he didn't call out one player specifically. He said there was multiple positions that haven't developed like they needed to, and that it's concerning. I would say it's concerning too, that they don't have, you know, anybody in there too deep, and it's a reflection of their program. And I mean, I think everybody, I think we get tired. I get tired of coach speak, right? But the funny thing is the one time the guy goes off coach speak and gives a very forthright answer, you know, he has the cancel culture police try to come after him. Right. And so I actually didn't have a problem with it. And I think that's the same thing he's probably said to his players in private. And, you know, from what I heard, it sounds like he played the full clip for the team on the Tuesday team meeting and they got to hear it for themselves. And, you know, Doug Kramer said, well, we got his back, and Doug Kramer played like, he had his back, but probably his best game. I think he was able to get healthy over the bye week. I don't think he was healthy the last couple of weeks. And so this is a turning point for this program. This game feels different to me than the Wisconsin win. just from the Wisconsin, we had some turnovers. We had some breaks in that game. We certainly didn't dominate Wisconsin, and you kind of felt like Lovie Smith was on life support at that point. And they did have a little run of winning four straight after that game. This seems like a program building win of like, this is the identity our football team needs to have.
Yeah, Jay, I was going to hit on that too. I talked about that on Saturdays. I felt like this was an identity win, right? Like, and right. I don't think it's just one game, right? We've seen this, I think, for five games where we've seen a defense that is a top half defense right now. And right. We'll talk about Ryan Walters and everything he's done, but you've had good defensive play. You've run the ball pretty well, except for against Wisconsin, and nobody's running the ball well against Wisconsin.
Right.
That's Brett Bielema identity, right? Run the ball, right. Play good defense. And if you can get the skill positions on offense to elevate themselves a little bit, at least quarterback, wide receiver, you might have something down the line. But this has been formulating for a while, and finally it accrues in a Big Ten win, it feels like.
Well, and, you know, this is why we have seen – this is a perfect example of why you want to be able to run the football and play defense. And when you get into late October, there always seems to be a game like – I think it was probably 2 years ago to the date we played Purdue in the rain, right? And the reason we beat Purdue was we could run the football, and they were just relying on throwing the football. Well, what happened to Penn State was, you know, they had a hurt quarterback. I don't think Clifford was 100%, but they – so now their quarterback's out. You can't really run the football for various reasons. A lot of that scheme, but we could run the football. And that's what shows up, right? And so we run the football. We play defense, play complementary football like we've talked about. And I guess what was so – interesting to me is there was a time in that game we're down 10-0. Sitkowski fumbles and they have the ball like on the 33. They could make it a 3-score game. And there's time and time again that defense bowed up in very hard positions, got tackles for loss, got negative plays, got sacks, and quite frankly, you know, kept us in the football game for enough time to kind of get past that offensive resistance. And I can't say enough, you know, overcoming three turnovers. It was power overcoming some really ill-timed penalties. Overcame that. And so, man, I was just so proud of this football team. This was a huge, huge win all on all three phases, and an identity win too.
All right, Jay, I want to throw some flowers at him. Let's start with the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they're playing lights out. I mean, against the run, right. I thought the right. front seven was fantastic. Right. I was texting you, Tariq Barnes and Kalon Tolson yeah. had fantastic games. I think Keith Randolph's really taking a star turn right now, right. but the rest of the D-line looks pretty good. What has Ryan Walters done since the Virginia game to get this out of a team that allowed 42 points and looked like defenses in the past? How has he been able to take the same players Lovie Smith couldn't stop the run against, and right. all of a sudden they're a really good run defense that plays pretty sound football right now?
Yeah, no, first of all, that's a great question. It all starts up front. I want to give, you know, I think Keith Randolph probably played his best game he's ever played. And Rod Perry and Johnny Newton played well. But, I mean, we saw Keith Randolph really get full extension with his hands and dump people off. There's a couple of those plays in the overtimes where he got off a block and with one hand stopped the running back. I mean, literally Keith Randolph was playing great. So it starts up front, number one. And I think just having those three guys and saying, listen, your hands on the ground every play, this is what we're running. We need you. And they don't do a ton with those guys. They don't make them move a ton. We move a lot with outside backers and whatnot, but they let those guys play. Let those guys play fast. So number one, that's what he's done. Number two, they found out that Tariq Barnes plays better when he's attacking. He's a gifted blitzer. Okay. He's not quite as good as Jake Hansen was at reading plays, but he's a really good player when you say, hey, hit this hole and time it up. And, you know, Ryan Walters had a simplistic, but very brilliant plan when it came to the Penn State offense. And really Penn State only ran one run play the whole entire game, which was inside zone, which was largely ineffective. I think it had 59 yards for like 29 carries or something like that. But what it was he was going to blitz the opposite A gap of the back. That's basically the gap between the guard and the center. And we saw that on the play one. And what was going to happen is if it's a pass play, he's either going to guard that running back or beat him on a pass rush to Clifford. If it's a run play, you're going to tackle the running back, or you're going to make him make a cut back in the back. We've talked about this a lot. You can make a back cut in the backfield. It's probably going to be a no game play. I know they had some times where they got some yards, but that one stunt, that simplistic stunt, that's a Pop Warner stunt. Okay. And I think Ryan Walters is brilliant, but I mean, that shut down the entire run game. The entire run game, one stunt from Tariq Barnes. Of course, it has to work up front, and Randolph's taken two and stuff like that. But I just can't emphasize enough the simplicity of that. I couldn't believe there was an adjustment from, I'm going to mess his name at Yurovich, the offensive corner for Penn State. Like, I just can't believe they didn't adjust to it, because the whole time, they tried to do a hard count later. Barnes didn't jump. Right. I'm surprised they didn't come off quicker to combo up on Barnes. And I know you might think I'm belaboring this point, but they literally ran this stunt 20 times. And this stunt is like, this is like a Pop Warner blitz, like, hey, middle linebacker blitz A gap. Like, this is not technical. Right. And he caused two holding penalties as well. Two big holding penalties. Right. That doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but I mean, he definitely gets pluses for that. And so Barnes played his best game, and they found out that Barnes is best when he attacks. Right. He really is. I think the versatility, the most versatile player we have on defense is Kalen Tolson. He's a guy that can play inside. He actually can play outside. We saw him get pressure in the court, get a sack. We saw him drop in coverage. He might be the most versatile outside backer that we have. I think Carney's probably our best overall pass rusher. I think Seth Coleman is probably the best overall athlete, but been banged up. But I think Kalen Tolson, what I've seen at the outside backer position, his ability to play in coverage and rush the passer, kind of an undersized, I'm dating myself, but Elvis Dumervil was kind of that size, right? He's kind of that undersized guy. We saw him get under the tackle on that sack on the speed rush. And so those are the front seven kind of like highlights that I saw. I think obviously Devin Witherspoon continues to flash. They're going to use his aggressiveness against him. They used it on him once. He triggered, they threw it behind him, right? But you know, he came up with a big play in the second half on that bubble, and also on the sack. So that's kind of what I saw defensively. But I think it was just honestly the simplicity that Ryan Walters was able to do. And you know, they took some chances. You know, Eddie Smith, I think, got beat on the slant route, right? On a zero coverage kind of blitz, and you're going to get beat like that. They took a chance, but that was really the only time we saw somebody get beat big. Dotson made a great catch in traffic one time, but that should have been a pick.
How would you, for the layperson, layman for the layman, how would you describe what this defense is? Like, how would you label it if we had to label? Because it felt like early on, Jay, they were – you know, really a lot of man coverage, being aggressive, right. And then they got burned deep. Now it feels like a lot of zone coverage.
Right.
Feels like there are more three-man fronts here that we're seeing. Right. I mean, you mentioned Kalon Tolson kind of playing an edge now with Isaiah Gay as an edge as well. How would you label it right now?
Well, it's hard to label number one.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, everybody gets on coaches for saying we're going to be multiple, and Ryan Walters, he actually was multiple at Mizzou, right? Depending on who they run. And what I like about Ryan Walters is he kind of has I know he's not an NFL guy. He hasn't necessarily been in the NFL as far as coaching wise, but it seems to me like they have unique wrinkles and game plans for each team. And he has that. I would call us right now. And this is, you could call us a 3-4, but it's really like a 3-3-5. Like, it's kind of weird, you know, it's like, because some of these guys are playing like an extra defensive back in there, and Sidney Brown runs in there, but then you have Kalen Tolson, who is a D lineman sometimes, but he's not. And you think it's confusing for us to, you know, as an offensive lineman, I'm looking at, and this is what Wisconsin's done for years, right? I mean, literally, you could call Wisconsin a 30 front, a 3-3-5, a 34 front. Sometimes they run a 4-4. Like, and that's becoming like, especially if you don't have guys that can just line up and beat people, although we're getting a couple in Keith Randolph and whatnot. It's hard to state what it is, but a lot of times they run kind of like a 3-3-5, where it's like they're dropping eight, right? And they rush three. A lot of times too, they were running just a three-man front with Barnes just saying, I'm going to go. and blitz the A gap, and everybody else is playing, you know, it seemed like everyone's playing zone on the back end. Sometimes they were playing man, but everybody's playing zone on the back end. So they were having kind of these hybrid things, and you never know unless you hear the call, but it just looked like it was specifically game planned, one, to shut down the run play, and two, to give help on some of the deep plays against dots and whatnot.
I just want to make the point that's very different than the last defense, sure, right? Like, I just want very to point different. That out, like, very different. And what I like about it, Jay, is you confuse college quarterbacks, right? And there's more aggression. You don't know who's coming. And you can see a few times, Sean Clifford looked a little confused. There was a lot of checking, and he didn't know what to do. Sidney Brown was kind of toying with him.
Yeah.
With
where he's, going. He's an experienced guy, three-time captain for Penn State, won a lot of games. I don't think he was necessarily 100% healthy, but their offensive line was pretty darn healthy, and they got made to look silly. Honestly, it was a disaster offensively for Penn State, an outright disaster. The only way they were in that game was because of three turnovers. That's it. That's the only way they were in that game. And I'm really just really impressed by the defense's ability to, you know, game plan, for Ryan Walters' ability to game plan specifically. And I just thought the lack of innovation from Penn State in the run game was astounding to me. I can't remember seeing a team not run more than one run play and that didn't work.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, like, do a toss, do like pull somebody. Like, they didn't do any, do a counter. They didn't do any of that, which tells me that they're either one, they didn't have it in the game plan. Two, they were confused and couldn't run anything else. So it was shocking to me to watch how it played out.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jay, I haven't even asked you yet. 9 overtimes. Right. The rule was put in place so we wouldn't have something like this. It's a college football record, of course. You know, not a lot of plays being run there, so you do have some safety there. But, like, what did you make of how that played out? I mean, it was – Penn State had a few close ones early. I mean, Illinois could have ended it if Josh McCray would have brought that one in from Art Sikowski. But Illinois, I mean, the defense, time after time, you mentioned it. Keith Randolph had a couple of big plays. Kalon Tolson, I thought Johnny Newton and Kirby Joseph had a big stop. They kept making stop after stop.
I mean, and these are pressure stops. One, I think the change in overtime is good, first off, right? You kind of got the feeling that you knew nobody was going to score a touchdown in those first two ones, right? This is the way the game was going. And, you know, we had a chance. I think the plays that stick out to me are Keith Randolph, one hand stopping guys, Johnny Newton got some pressure, Kalon Tolson dropping into coverage. You mentioned Kirby Joseph. I just saw really disciplined football because Sean Clifford's a guy that can make you really undisciplined by holding the football. And, I like what Isaiah Williams did. I didn't like the first two throws that Peters had, didn't give us a chance really. But credit to him, you know, even though Casey Washington was probably open for 4 seconds, right? In true Brandon Peters form, he wanted to make sure he was open, right? Yep. And they got it done. And that you saw the mental breakdown. That was obviously a mental breakdown by a Penn State defender. I mean, he was never guarded the whole time. And so nobody could quite win the game, right? Nobody could go out and actually win it. I think of the first four overtimes, everybody got stopped. I think it was Isaiah Williams was the first one actually scoring, then Penn State scored, and that was close. They almost didn't score. So I was so glad that Illinois – how many games have we seen where we're like, man, Illinois is so close. This is going to be so huge. And then something happens. It was – I can't put into words the confidence boost that going on the road to a top 10 program against a perennial power and then being in a game where stuff goes wrong. So many times you could quit. So many times you could give up. Now the next time they're in that, they're like, wait, we've been here before. That's a huge thing. I mean, just mentally. And you can't give, and Kirk Ferentz says it, we hear other people say, you can teach players everything but two things, experience and confidence. And they got experience and confidence today. They earned it. That's the key.
All right, Jay, let's switch to the offensive side of the ball. First play from scrimmage, 9 guys on the offensive line. In the year of our Lord 2021, you have 9 guys in the line of scrimmage, and they get 9 yards, and they kept running it, and they kept running it. And I'm sitting there going, is Penn State going to put 9 or 10 in the box? And they kept being successful with it. I mean, they didn't run it all the time, Jay, but what did you make of that and how that played out? Just having, I think it's the barge package, and I heard Brett Bielema say beef and whopper on the radio. Maybe there's some variants of it.
Yeah, so first off, I like to look at it from a linebacker's perspective. There's 9 guys on the line, a quarterback who's not mobile, and then there's 1 tailback. So who do we think is getting the ball? Okay, so it's obvious. So as a linebacker, my job gets a lot easier, right? You would think, all right? You would think all this. But what I saw was, you know, they created an edge, and they said, okay, we're going to get a longer edge than them, and we're going to try to run around that edge, and we're going to double team that edge with our 2 tight ends on the very end. Double team, they got some movement, knocked that guy off the ball, and then pulled Kramer and Pelcheski, who was playing right guard mostly. They moved around some, but right guard mostly. And they moved in and had, you know, Kramer and Pelcheski lead, you know, Chase Brown or McCray sometimes across that edge. And I can understand being fooled by that 2 or 3 plays. Like, okay, that's a formation you don't see. And I know the front gets mixed up for the Mike linebacker, but man, I just can't understand why they didn't adjust their splits. If I'm a linebacker, I would have scooted back a step because I'm going to have to go wider to get over. They were so tight. They were tight to the line and getting caught in the wash, man, because now I get double teamed. I get that guy in my lap about 3 yards down the field, right? And I got to go over that guy. So if I would have scooted back and just attacked, I would have been fine. I mean, I was hoping the Penn State didn't adjust. It's not that hard of an adjustment, right? I mean, you go on the sideline to do it, but I tell you what, it worked, and they never really adjusted properly. And I will give Chase Brown a couple times. He just cut it back and had the vision to cut it back and the patience, which led to some big gains. And I liked really how they used McCray and Brown. It was less series to series and more like, okay, here's 3 runs for this guy. Let's get Chase in. And man, it's a total change of pace. I mean, you got to get to the edge fast on Chase Brown, where with McCray, I've got to hit him before he gets going kind of thing. And so I really like to use it. The shocking thing is that everybody in the stadium, everyone watching, knew they couldn't throw the football. Like, it's one thing if I got like this deep threat going down the field, right? But everyone knows you can't do it. So to do that when everybody knows you're going to run the football was pretty astounding by the offensive line and good schemes, honestly, good schemes by Tony Peterson.
So do we expect that to continue? Like, is that a wrinkle? Is that a 1 game off? Or if they bring that out, like, what is Rutgers going to do to go against that? And what's Illinois' counter to that? Like, do they all of a sudden go play action out of it?
Yeah, so you always have the play action. I'd actually like to see just more naked boots, honestly, off of it with obviously Peters running the football on it. I like that, you know, one of the counters was the throwback tight end, which Daniel Barker got called on for being 1 yard over the line of scrimmage. I mean, that was a really tough call in Pilstrom being downfield. That was one of the counter plays, right? I would love to see 4 plays, 4 pass plays that Illinois gets really good at. You know, a boot, a tight end throwback, you know, a little out route to Isaiah Williams, and one, you know, dig route for a first down for 10 yards. If we had those 4 plays, which are not hard plays, let me tell you, you know, it would change the whole outlook and keep the defense honest. We can do those 4 plays. And quite frankly, not all the balls were horrible. Some of them were. We got to come down. Luke Ford's got to come down with a couple balls. We got to have a couple guys come down with balls to do it. But man, I was just so proud of that offensive line. I just can't say it enough. But the funny thing is, a lot of the sets were 1 back. And so you know where the ball's going. It wasn't like there was like 2 backs in the backfield that were going to get lead, we're going to power. But I saw them run some classic power as well. They ran some classic power well. So it wasn't just that stretch lead with the pulling around Kramer. They ran some power right at people. And so when you're able to do that, you're able to really move the football well.
Jay, I'll throw this question at you. Who more likely is on an NFL roster at this time next season, Doug Kramer or Chase Brown?
Well, that's a good question. You know, let's hope Chase doesn't leave, right?
I mean, I'm just thinking he's got to start thinking. I mean, he's legit.
He's a legit player. I'd love to see him healthy. I think the one knock they're going to get on him is he just hasn't done it for a whole season, right? And so there's limited tape on him. But Kramer, when he's healthy, you know, when you have a zone blocking system, you know, there's a guy named Gray Esslinger who played for Tony Peterson at Minnesota for years, started as a true freshman, kind of undersized and fast. I didn't realize how fast Kramer was. Yeah, the guy can move when he's healthy. And I don't think he necessarily overpowers a ton, but he played nasty. He threw some people down. I saw him, got some knockdowns, and when he's healthy, I think Kramer could be on a roster for the right scheme. You know, for years, the Texans under Gary Kubiak had that zone scheme. You know, he would be a great fit for that. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's just going to grind people out like Kendrick Green, but he's certainly a good football player. And it was excited to see him. I thought Palcheski, I think because of some of the injuries, I thought maybe he would be better at guard. And I think he played better. Pearl, for the most part, played decent at right tackle. The one guy got a great jump on that one play. I mean, just a tremendous get off the ball that led to a sack. But I think Pearl could be a good tackle. It shows his versatility as well. I hope Verdarian's okay. You know, I think that part of the reason it was so good on that left side is that you put inexperienced guys next to Verdarian Lowe, and, you know, he can help crush a double team. And I hope he's okay. I certainly don't know, but those are big parts of it. But to answer your question, probably Doug Kramer. I think Chase needs another year.
Gotcha.
You do too, right?
it'd be good for Illinois, I can tell you that much. And to come back, I agree. I don't know if he's a early draft pick or anything like that, but he's a guy that running backs, you might want to go early, right? That's one position where you probably go earlier than the most. All right, Jay, before I let you go, this is a big win that sets up an interesting end to the season because you have winnable games remaining, starting this week against Rutgers. Minnesota is playing well despite all the injuries they've had at running back. Their offensive line plays really, really well. That's a tough game on the road. Iowa's a tough game on the road. But you also have Northwestern coming here, and they're not playing very well. So what's the key to building some momentum here, and what do you think are the keys against Rutgers, which hasn't won a Big Ten game yet?
Well, first off, I think that Illinois believes in its mind that it can beat any of these teams now. I really do. So first, it starts mentally with them. They talked about the 7-game season, the 2-game season, the 3-game season. They're looking to go 2-0 in this, you know, season between the bye weeks. And I do think they'll beat Rutgers. I think the big question is, can they win 2 out of 3 against Minnesota, Iowa, and Northwestern? And I would say it looks a whole lot more plausible than it did 3 days ago. Right. And it's really going to come down to we cannot afford to have the turnover issue like we had last game. And one thing Brandon Peters has seemed to be okay, better on, is just taking care of the football. Whether it's fumbles or interceptions, we can get on about throwing the ball away or holding onto the ball too long. So I just think we'll really get dominated against Iowa if we turn over like that. That's what they feed off of. But then again, we had 3 turnovers against Penn State and beat them. So there's stuff that cannot be explained. I really like where this team's at as far as getting their identity going. If they can make it to a bowl game, boy, that would be a huge momentum boost, I think, for practices, for recruiting. I mean, the fact that game was on ABC national television, everybody got to see Illinois own a top 10 team. That's going to do wonders. And just my personal take, I thought the announcing was some of the most biased announcing for Penn State I've ever heard. You know, I honestly, it felt like a love affair for, you know, Penn State in that first half. And I was like, man, I haven't had people texting me saying, man, what's going on? It just sounds like this. And I took offense to a little bit. You know, I'm an Illinois guy, and I've been accused of being a homer myself, but I just didn't think it was that fair of a broadcast to start out with. So I said it.
Yeah, no. I thought Orlovsky tried to do some things right, but like, it's obviously the story for them is Penn State, Right. But yeah, I think they were missing the story, at least of that game as it was going across, was Illinois dominating. Like this,
this is an historic upset against a Big Ten with the longest game in history, which I know happened fast. But I just thought the whole story of, wow, this is a team that got killed by Wisconsin 2 weeks later is battling a Penn State team who's number 7 in the country. I just thought it could have been documented in the story told way better than it was.
I think that's
and correct. I thought ABC missed a chance. I'm not critical of announcers usually. I just thought that for the most part, it seemed very Penn State oriented and rightfully so. But once the game got going, I thought, man, we could see more of it. So that's my take. You know, I mean, I'm an announcer. I'm an Illinois fan. So I certainly can be biased. I think Orlovsky and Dave, they're very talented, good announcers. I just thought for that game, the whole story of it was missed.
Yeah. And that's just where people are interested in Penn State a lot more in Illinois, but right. You know, that's right. Why
we've been the bottom feeders for a long time. So it's kind of like, we want somebody to give us some respect, the one game we're doing well on. So, you know, I don't mind. I'm sure I've done that with games as well, but I think when you have conference opponents, you know, it's one thing if you're playing a non-con, you're on the Big Ten network and, you know, you're playing somebody from the MAC, obviously you're more Big Ten centric. Right. But I think when you have a conference opponent on ABC, which is a really good game that turned out to be a historic game, man, we've got to have a fair shot. But you know, that's my take. You know, that one's free for you guys. That's just what I thought.
Love it. Love it, Jay. We'll do our video breakdown in a little bit. Can't wait for you to break down Ryan Walters' defense and all of that. And plus this barge package that Illinois put in and Penn State could not adjust to. Jay Lamb, you're the goods. We'll talk to you next week. Maybe 2 wins in a row for Illinois. We'll talk
Let's
to you then.
Let's go.
Great stuff as always from Jay Lehman. Of course, he's the goods. And if you want more from Jay Lehman, you can get more. We did a film review for our VIP members, and Jay did a fantastic job of breaking down how Ryan Walters' defense was so successful against Penn State and really what they've changed here recently and kind of looking at their schemes, but also their execution on certain plays, especially in overtime. Great stuff on Tariq Barnes that I think only Jay could break down. I didn't notice it in the breakdown when I watched it originally, but stuff that Jay knows and can pick up on that most of us can't. That's why I love having him. So be sure to check that out. Also broke down the offensive line, the barge package of 9 down linemen, a couple tight ends, and 7 offensive linemen, and why Penn State struggled to defend it and maybe adjustments they didn't make. So go check that out if you're a VIP member. If you're not, you can sign up for a VIP membership for just $1. And with Jay Lehman doing these breakdowns and Michael Tulip doing these breakdowns, I can tell you that alone is worth the price of admission. And then you add in everything Derek Piper does with basketball, Joey Wagner does, and what I do on the football recruiting side. I think it's well worth it. So give it a try at $1 for your first month of VIP membership. As always, thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. We'll have more on football and basketball as we go with the week ahead. Of course, we got Michael Tulip coming up to break down the exhibition game and some film review with him as well. So I can't wait for all of that. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow if you can, wherever you follow our podcast. We appreciate any rating or review as well. That helps us out. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.